Hi, Lynn. She's in Florida. I told her I was going to do that this morning. Tonight, we're going to observe the Lord's table, and I'm going to be preaching on the 12 sons of Jacob. I've entitled the message for this morning, "The Question That Answers All Others." What is that question? Who is Jesus Christ? That answers all other questions. Who is Jesus Christ? Just about everybody believes that Jesus Christ is a historical figure, a real person who actually died on a cross, but who is he? Our answer to that question will determine the answer to every other question. What we believe is seen in who we see that he is. Who is Jesus Christ? Now let's look back at our text in Hebrews chapter 1. God. This is the only book in the Bible that begins like this. God. No attempt to prove his existence. Creation says he is. Somebody made all of this, and nobody made him. Self-evident. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Thank God, he is the God who speaks. He's not a God afar off. He is the God who speaks. My words. Unfortunately, may not correspond with my actions. My actions may make my words meaningless. Same is true of you. But all he has to do is speak, and it's done. His word is his action. Light be, light was. The authority, the divine authority of his word. I love that verse of scripture that Andy read in John chapter 8. He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. He that's of God heareth God's words. Notice it says God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake. Aren't you thankful he speaks? In times past unto the fathers by the prophets. At different times and in different ways, he spake to our fathers by the prophets. Sometimes in dreams and visions, he would speak. Sometimes in theophanies, pre-incarnate appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes through parables, through the law, through the sacrifices, through the ceremonies, through all the paraphernalia of the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple, he would speak. But the scripture says he hath in these last days spoken to us by Son. Jesus Christ is the speech of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the mind of God. Listen to this. He is God. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the one that God, in verse 2, hath appointed heir of all things. That means he owns everything. You're sitting in his space. You're breathing his air. You belong to him. Whether you acknowledge it or not, you belong to him. He's the heir of all things. And everything is for his glory. You will glorify him. Now you can write that down. This is for sure. You will. I will glorify him. Either to the praise of the glory of his grace or to the praise of the glory of his justice. But you and I will glorify him. He's the heir of all things. Verse 2, the last phrase, who is Jesus Christ? By whom also he made the worlds. Jesus Christ is the creator. He's not created. He's eternal. He is the creator. When God said, let us make man in our own image, that's Jesus Christ. Us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God as a distinct person. And the Word was God. The second person of the Blessed Trinity. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him, Paul said in Colossians 1, and for him. And he is before all things. Whatever it is, he's before it. And by him, all things consist, are held together. Now, if our concept of Jesus Christ begins in a manger and ends on a cross, we're clueless. Who is Jesus Christ? Look at verse 3. Who? Being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus Christ is the brightness, the character, the shining forth, the effulgence of God's glory. The express image, the transcript of his person. Do you know that the only one we'll ever see of the triune God is Jesus Christ? In heaven, all we will see is Jesus Christ. He is the shining forth. He's not reflected light. He is the glory of God. He is the express image of his person. I love what Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the one who, according to verse 3, upholds all things by the word of His power, the word of His omnipotence. You know what that means? Everything that takes place in space. I'm not just talking about out there in outer space. I'm talking about space, period. Everything. Everything that happens in time, He controls. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Right now, He is completely sovereign over everything you're thinking, freely and uncoerced. He's in control of it. I love saying this. Somebody says, I don't believe that. He's in control of that too. He's in control of everything. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, look what it says next in verse 3. When He had by Himself purged our sins. He is the one who by Himself purged, made purification for, put away, made not to be our sins. Now, for us to understand that statement, we need to know who is meant by our. When He had by Himself purged our sins. Who is meant by our? If He meant all men by our, all to ever live, one of two things are true. Number one, all men will be saved. There is no hell. If He meant all men had their sins purged, all men will be saved. And if He meant all men and there is a hell and some are saved and some are not, that would mean that His blood was worthless, because there are people in hell suffering for sin where He paid for their sins and purged them. All that would mean is that His blood is utterly ineffectual in salvation. His blood does not save. So who is the hour? I know it's not all men without exception. The hour sins that the writer to the Hebrews is referring to is the elect of God. It's the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, not everybody's a sheep, because He said in that same chapter, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. The our sins that are purged refers to all the Father gave Him. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, don't miss this, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, for no reason whatsoever, cast out. You come, you'll be received. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. The hour whose sins he purged are his people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all of these people have this in common. Listen to me. All of his people have this in common. They need their sins purged. They are filthy inside and out, and they need their sins purged. They're defiled by sin, and they cannot change that fact. I need my sins purged, and there's absolutely nothing I can do about my sins. I must have him do this for me. I must have him do something about my sin, because there's nothing that I can do about it. Somebody said, stop sinning. Are you so foolish? Are you so foolish? The only hope you and I have, and this is what all of God's elect have in common, I need my sins purged. I will not be saved unless I have my sins purged, and I cannot do anything about this. Thank God he does. When he had by himself purged our sins, he purged them. What does that mean? He put them away. He washed me from my sin. He cleansed me from my sin so that I do not have sin. If your sins are purged, you know what? They're no more. You know, when you put something in the washing machine and it comes out and the dirt's still there and the spots there, it didn't get purged, did it? But when you put it in the wash and the stain is gone, that's what he did with the sins of his people. He made them not to be. They stand without guilt before God. When he had by himself purged our sin. Now, the cup that he drank in Gethsemane's garden, what was in it? The sins of his people. My sins, every sin I've committed, was put in that cup, and he drank it in Gethsemane's garden when he was made to be sin. Now, what all that means, I don't know. But Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When he bowed his head and cried, it is finished, all of the sins were purged. Sins I haven't even yet committed, purged, washed away, made not to be. Colossians 1, 20 through 22 tells us that the blood of the cross made us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. That pretty much sounds like sinless to me, doesn't it, to you? That is what he did. He, by himself, purged our sins. And I want us to think of this phrase, by himself. On the cross, he was by himself. Father wasn't helping him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Because he was made sin. Now, don't judge your case by how you feel about yourself. Don't judge your case by how somebody else looks at you. You judge your case by what you see on Calvary's tree when Christ was forsaken by God. That's what me and you deserve. You judge your case not by how much you feel that or how much you experience it, but by seeing what Christ suffered on Calvary's tree. That is what you and I deserve. Believe that not so much because you even feel it, but because you see that's what happened to Christ. When he had by himself purged our sins, he had no help from his Father. He had no angels helping him at this time, like they were in Gethsemane's garden. He was by himself. He didn't have his people helping him. He didn't have his people saying, "We love you and we know you did this for us and we're so thankful." No, they'd all forsaken him and fled. He was by himself. In the great work of the purging of our sins, he did this by himself. This great work which he accomplished, he did by himself. By himself. Not by enabling me or you to do something that would activate what he did so that it might be applied to us. What he did by himself. By himself means, for me and you, forget doing. Forget doing. Don't think about what you need to do. It's done. It's finished. If any part of my salvation, listen real carefully, if any part of my salvation is dependent upon me doing something, if my salvation, if the purging of my sins is dependent upon my faith or my repentance or my holy living or my ability to stop committing some particular sin, I have no hope. I cannot be saved. If any part of my salvation is dependent upon me doing anything, I will not be saved. And my dear friend, you won't either. When he had by himself, notice the when he had by himself. At a point in time, in a particular place, Golgotha's hill, he, by himself, without any contribution from me or you, purged, made purification for. He made it to where I have no sin. When he had by himself purged our sin. Now let's keep reading in verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1. When? Who is Jesus Christ? He is the one who by himself purged our sins. And look at this next statement with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who sat down. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The place of favor. The place of power. Sitting. He's the one who sat down. His work finished. Sins purged. Sitting. not pacing back and forth in frustration, worrying that his will's not going to be done, sitting in absolute power, undisturbed by opposition, sitting in absolute authority at the right hand of God. Now, in the tabernacle, in the Old Testament, that great portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ, you had the brazen altar, you had the laver to wash in, you had the candlesticks, Christ our light, the altar of incense, Christ our intercessor, you had the table of showbread, Christ our food, you had the veil separating the holy place and the holy of holies, and you had the ark of the covenant with the mercy seat. One thing that was conspicuously absent: a chair. There were no chairs. Why? Because the work of the Old Testament priests was never done. He went through all the ceremonies, the sacrifices. The next day started them all over again. Millions and millions of animal sacrifices. The work was never done. Why? Because that work never did anything. All it did was represent something. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I'd like you to look at this with me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. Hebrews 10, verse 11. And every priest sitting, no, standeth. He's always standing. He's always got something to do. He's always moving. Every high priest standeth, daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. He sat down at the right hand of the God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, he, listen to the language, he hath perfected forever. That's what the purging of sins means. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Look back at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's what he did. He obtained. And I love the word eternal. That's a redemption that never had a beginning and will never have an end, because he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, let me ask you this question. How satisfied is God with what his son did? How satisfied is God with what Christ did? He is infinitely satisfied with what his son did. That was demonstrated when he raised him from the dead. He said, I am completely satisfied with what he did. I'm not looking for anything else. How satisfied is Christ with what he did? How satisfied is Christ? Well, the scripture says, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Christ is completely satisfied with what he did. He knew that he did what the Father gave him to do. He said, I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. He is completely satisfied with what he did, just as when he rested at the end of his creative work, because what he did was complete and very good. After he finished our salvation, he sat down, utterly satisfied with what he did. He left nothing undone. He left nothing incomplete that you and I need to make up for. God the Holy Spirit is completely satisfied with what Christ had done. This is what he testifies of. We're here in Hebrews. Look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. Hebrews 10, 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he'd said before, this is a covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities I'll remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Don't try and bring one. There's nothing to be done. Nothing. What am I to do? Well, Hebrews 4:9 says there remaineth a rest for the people of God. For he that's entered into his rest hath ceased from his own works. As God did from his. Don't make any resolutions of how you're going to change, and you'll do better from here on out. Don't think there's anything you need to make this work. Cease from your own works. Rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6:29 says, what must we do that we might work the works of God? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. You believe who he is. You believe the Father sent him. You believe he did what the Father sent him to do, and you rest in him. Get doing out of your brain. Get it out of your heart. It's done. It's done. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, I don't know the place where it's declared more clearly. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son, equal with the Father. He's the one whom God has appointed heir of all things. He's the one by whom God made the worlds. He's the Creator. He's the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. All you'll ever see of God is the man Christ Jesus. I love it when Philip said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And the Lord said, Philip, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He's the one who upholds all things by the word of his power when he had by himself purged our sins. He sat down. That's who he is. And that answers every other question that's worth being asked. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. And Lord, he's glorious in our sight by your grace. And Lord, I ask in Christ's name, we ask with unified hearts by your Spirit, in Christ's name, that each person might be given the grace to rest in who he is and what he did. Honor your word for Christ's sake. In his name we pray.